AM 580 is coming to you from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, made possible by a generous grant from Alice and Robert Campbell. It's time now for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Tuesday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared and the resumption of trading. Well, what trading there has been. We'll get to that in just a second. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat open at 9:35, down 14 and 3 quarters on the open. March, 9:35, down 12. Meanwhile, the opening at the Chicago Board of Trade has been delayed until 10:30 this morning due to an order routing glitch. But over at the Merck, we are trading. October live cattle open at 96.25, up 2.5 on the open. December, 98.65, up 5. February, 125, down 5. April, 125, down 10 on the open. October feeders opening at 115.55, up 47.5 on the open. November, 115.25, up 30. January, 114.50, up 27.5. March, 112.60, up 20 on the open. October lean hogs, 58.20, up 5 on the open. December, 59.60, up 5. February, 65.50, down 2.5. April, at 67.85, down 10 on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good morning, Wayne.
Well, good morning, Dave.
What did you do, melt down the CBOT computer set?
Yeah, but I was really hoping to be over on the ECBOT, you know, where they just do everything electronically and we can't see what's going on. But this happened, electronic problems on the open outcry pit. And
right.
Because of all the use of computers, why, the old runners just aren't there anymore. It shouldn't have been any problem in the old days. Just go on up with this, but now we're in our computer age. Why, a little glitch does a lot of damage.
You would have thought that some of the old timers remembered their hand signals to the outside edges of the trading floor.
I imagine most of those guys are retired by now, Dave. But I'm sure that it brought back good old memories of how things used to be, and where we could was sort of an open display, and we really saw what was going on.
Let's turn our attention then to the cash side of the market for a little bit, Wayne, and have a discussion there. And just let me ask you, with harvest progressing right along, and of course in Illinois we're well over halfway done, what do you think that the basis is going to do over the next 2 to 3 weeks?
I think that as we, you know, in the different areas, as harvest winds down, the basis will tighten up. At the very end of harvest here, when we're really searching and crowded for storage rates, it's going to stay wide in certain areas and narrow up in other areas, Dave, because we're going to find that the end of this harvest is going to be when it's going to be hard to find a spot to put anything. I think that it's going to be very hard with the new storage put up by a lot of farmers, with the innovative means that they have to use some of their tool sheds, piles at home and whatever, for a lot of the elevators to guesstimate how much corn that needs to be moved out, how many train cars need to be ordered, how many barges need to be ordered, and like that at the end. And it's going to be quite the decision as to what shape they're in and how much they need to fill as harvest nears the last 10%. And but as it gets down and winds on down, then, of course, once it does go into storage at home, on the farmer's own storage, why, it does become, a battle to try to pull it back out of there, even if it's not immediately, but down the road for a little better bid for maybe January, February, March.
Is it fair to say, generally speaking, that not a lot of corn is being sold off the combine thus far?
Well, I think, especially here in Indiana, where we're not as far along as Illinois, that, of course, contracts are being filled first. I do know that there's a lot of, I think a lot of contract corn is going in first. They're going to their own bins first, and I would have to say that there has not been a huge amount of corn up until now that's probably just went into the open market across the sales across the scale, Dave. But I do think that we're going to see more and more of that possibly happen here as home storage fills up, as contracts run out.
Meanwhile, the trade is already beginning to focus in on next Friday and whether or not USDA will increase the corn yield and whether or not USDA will increase the demand side of the equation as well. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think if they don't increase the production, David, that we'd have to take it with a grain of salt because we know that the yields out there are doing a lot better. I mean, we've seen talk, a lot of talk, of a possibly a 160 corn yield. You know, we saw FC Stone's numbers come out unexpectedly last night at 157.4. We've heard a lot of talk this week or a lot of writings about the idea that the stocks number was off and the feed usage number was off in the last report because of early harvest in the south, and that some of that early corn came in and was in there, and that distorted the numbers. And I think that there's a probability that part of that's true, probably not to as large a degree as some want. But this is a very, very good corn crop. It's a lot of acreage, and the government has to say that there's going to be more production. Now, will they offset that with a little better usage? You know, our exports have been continued to do extremely well. You know, the hog numbers seem big. The cattle staying up above a dollar here. It looks like we're going to continue to feed cattle. I think the big question on usage is going to be what will they do with the ethanol or corn for ethanol usage with the situation we're in with sort of a backup now and profit margins being very slim. Will we see that number cut back?
And we did see a small cutback in the September report, if memory serves me right.
Yes, we did. Will we see a further one is the question mark.
And the soybeans, will USDA increase the yield on soybeans? There was talk earlier in the month, or last month, it's not now October 1st, but there was talk last month that they might cut the yield maybe as much as a half a bushel.
You know, we've heard lots of rumors of a half a bushel. F.C. Stone said 43 bushel last night. Mm-hmm. We'll see in Informa's numbers here, I think, later in the week. There's a real good possibility that we will not see the government change anything. They tend to be a little slow on some of those. The bean yields are suspect until we're hearing a little better yields as things go along in some places. But there is definitely just the feeling that there's a division of camp out there. I think they should probably increase them a half a bushel. Others are saying decrease a half a bushel. But we are continuing to see a good meal need. We're seeing that China decrease their import taxes, realizing that there's a desire for them to acquire more beans along the way. If they do raise, will they try to raise some of the export numbers or usage along to go with it?
Are you looking for a futures break on the technical charts heading into the report?
I think that we're going to have some lightening up going into this report, Dave. I think that it's just too important a number and important a time when we're seeing where things are going up a little bit that there won't be a little bit of profit taking going into this level. Also along the way, you know, as we have seen this morning, the wheat is breaking. But the biggest thing that's going to probably direct the trade is going to be the strength or weakness of the dollar. You know, we see the gold is down $19.50 here this morning. Gold has run to a 28-year high, and it's running out of some steam. The wheat, there's nothing fundamentally, basically, except the possibility of 1 to 6/10 inch of rain across the southern part of Australia. As far as hoping that, there's still lots of business out there. We haven't seemed to diminish the wheat hunger for wheat from a lot of these countries. And there was an Egyptian tender this morning that we haven't been able to find out how it developed yet or what come out of it. But it does look like we are, you know, being priced out of the market, out of the wheat market from the U.S. By Russia that way that they are under our price. So, you know, along those lines, why it's going to be what the dollar does. But otherwise, you know, we should definitely run into some pressure, some cash pressure or fundamental pressure in the corn market, Dave.
Would you look at re-ownership of corn at some point on this break?
Well, I think that's definitely a good possibility. You know, we haven't really picked where we should be doing this yet. I think that somewhere down in that 340 range basis of December, but I think we're going to want to go out into the March corn. So somewhere in the 340 range, 345 range, I think that we are going to want to re-own some corn for those people that sold it at harvest.
Thank you much, Wayne. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dave.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Wayne joins us every Tuesday morning on the pre-opening commodity market report. We have a listener comment line. give us a call at area code 217-333-0853 and let us know how we're doing. Or you can email us at WILLAGstaff.org. You can email us at WILLAGstaff@UIUC.edu. You're listening to WILO Urbana. It's 10 o'clock.